In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. We have another broadcast today of Word for Life, and Pastor Ken Keltner of Brookside Baptist Church is here teaching us today through the book of Joshua, chapter 24, and my name is Mark Widmer. Sitting by his side. Want to remind you of this Sunday, as we do every Sunday, the teaching of the scripture verse by verse that you hear on these broadcasts is very typical of what happens in our services Sunday morning and Sunday evening. So this Sunday morning, we are still preaching in 1 Corinthians 7, great chapter on the family and marriage. And then in the evening, praising through the Psalms. We'll be looking at Psalm 34.
Well, thank you, Pastor Mark, and trust you'll be faithful and loyal to your local church if you're in a church. If you're not in church, we'd love to invite you to come to Brookside. And we just, as Pastor Mark said, just want to study the Word. I mean, that's our focus of attention is God's Word and what God's Word is saying to us today. We've been talking about what God is saying to us today, even through a very Old Testament book, that being the book of Joshua. And as Pastor Mark has been taking us through, reading through this final chapter, I mean, one recurring theme has just been God did this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God gave them victory. God ran the other tribes or the other nations out. Israel had to go in, actually, though, possess the land. So you see God's sovereignty and man's responsibility involved in all of that. But his wonderful grace is amazing. We kind of left off with that thought in the last broadcast and really challenging each one of us never to forget the grace of God, because when I think of what the Lord has done for me, it should make me grateful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to get up in the morning, thank the Lord for my salvation. I want to thank the Lord for his son, Jesus, who's willing to come and die on this cross for my sins, and for his Holy Spirit sealing me, guaranteeing me that assurance that I'll live one day with an eternity with him. I mean, what a blessed time that will be. And friends, we need to live in light of eternity even today. I think of what Jeremiah said about the Lord. He said, his compassions are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. His mercies, it's because of his mercies we're not consumed. I mean, his mercies are fresh and new, his grace. And so I hope that we have grateful hearts, whether you're going into work this morning, that people will see, hey, man, what is so different about him? He just seems to be thankful about everything.
I was thinking of Henry Blackaby's writings and experiencing God. He talks about these kind of things as spiritual markers. He said, just take note of all the things in your life that God has done, and he's prepared you for them. God's always at work in our lives and hearts. And so the things he's done in the past have all prepared us for where we are today and even what will be in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Mark. You know, you and I didn't save ourselves. We haven't kept ourselves saved since salvation. God is the one who does the saving. God's basically going to be telling him through Joshua, you did not build the houses, you didn't dig the wells, you didn't plant the food. God did it all. God did it then, and God is still doing it now. Listen to what David said in the first part of Psalm 103. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Did you get that? All of our iniquities. We can do nothing to have those iniquities erased. It's only God. A grateful heart is accompanied, friends, by a humble spirit. A proud heart looks itself and says, I've built the business into what it is today. I've heard pastors say, I built that church. I've provided a great living for my family. I'm the one who deserves this. Because look what I've done. Let me just say that we are all one heartbeat away from death. Can you think of that, friends? One heartbeat away from eternity. And we have no idea, Solomon said, what a day will bring forth. And people, I think, Pastor Mark, who understand this are humble people, realizing mm-hmm. every day is a gift from God.
Yep. It's one of the blessings of the hard times of life. They make us remember that.
Yeah. And people who understand this are humble. They're not proud. Mm-hmm. As I like to say, they're not legends in their own minds.
Mm-hmm.
If you blow the dust off the story of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, God finally said enough to the proud spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. God's long-suffering for a period of time, and then he says enough. Like the dog tied to the clothesline, it can run for a little bit, and then pow, it's gone far enough.
Mm-hmm.
It took Nebuchadnezzar 7 years of absolute humility in how God was leading there for him to finally realize that I'm nothing and that God is everything. I believe we'll see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven because I believe God did that kind of work in his life that he turned to the God of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Joshua wants all of Israel to do. So Joshua has been looking at the past. So in the first 13 verses, he's given him a history lesson. He's going through, major books of the Bible in just a few short verses here. Mm-hmm. Remember, don't forget to remember. And now he's going to look at the present time, emphasizing the truth of God. We're going to see that in verses 14 through 24, because he starts off verse 14, now therefore. So he's in the present. Pastor Mark, why don't you read for us those famous verses there? Some people have it up on their front door of their home, verses 14 and 15 of Joshua 24.
Yeah, if you're home today, you can just look at the wall and read with me, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
So Joshua gives them really a directive. He says, fear the Lord. I mean, fearing the Lord is really a wholesome, worshipful respect for God. And it's accompanied usually by a hatred for sin. It's also, I look at it as if I step out of line and I don't want to yield to the convicting spirit of God, Hebrews 12 says he'll spank me. Mm-hmm. I fear being spanked by the Lord. I have been spanked, Pastor Mark. It's no fun. So he says, fear God. Then he says, serve God. Service would be defined as willing, available, maybe even dependable. It's an obedient life based on a loving devotion to God. Just like you read in 1 John chapter 4, we read, perfect love casteth out fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pastor Mark, there was a day, my dad was a disciplinarian. If he told me to mow the backyard and I played basketball instead, he came home, saw it wasn't mowed. He, military man, grew up believing in corporal punishment, and he wore out my southern hemisphere.
Yeah.
And I realized tomorrow, when he said, make sure the lawn's mowed, I let the basketball bounce, and I went and mowed the lawn.
Yeah.
And then when my dad, in his life, older in his age, living in Colorado Springs, I would go and I'd say, hey, let me mow your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feared him? No, because I loved him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it should be progressing, even in our walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, Pastor Mark, you in reading that verse, that word serve, it's a Hebrew word, abad, it appears seven times in verses 14 and 15.
Yeah. Yep.
Writer Dale Davis said the Hebrew root word of this is like measles in chapter 24. It occurs 18 times. In other words, Israel must decide whose slave they're going to be. So he gives them this directive, you need to fear, you need to serve him. And then you need to repent. Surprise. Look what he says. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Joshua wasn't giving a blind eye to how they were living and what they were doing. He was saying, stop worshiping idols that you brought from Egypt. In other words, the parents who aren't even there now and the grandparents, because they didn't make it through the wilderness, they had given these idols to their children, and who knows, they said, hey, this is a keepsake or whatever. I mean, think about it. They were hiding idols from the past. Mm-hmm. Charles Spurgeon said, and I quote, Joshua knew that the people who surrounded him, who apparently were serving Jehovah, were really secretly worshiping the ancient idols of their Mesopotamian fathers. Some of them harbored the Egyptian emblems, and some had even fallen into the worship of the gods of the people whom they had displaced. End of quote. I think, are you kidding me? Idol-worshipping Hebrews who haven't yet broken the habits of the past, even though they've been seeing all that God's been doing for them?
Yeah.
But I would say, Pastor Mark, before we shake our index finger at them and say, shame on you, you dumb people, we may want to take a good, long, hard look at ourselves. May I just say that there are probably no more idolatrous people on the face of the earth than the American Christian today. Mm-hmm. I mean, we even have a television show called American Idol.
Yeah.
We don't merely hide our idols or we put them out there. We might put other names on them. And friends, I don't know what idol you might be struggling or wrestling with, but it's more than likely a battle you deal with when no one else is around. We make our reputations into idols. We turn our homes into idols. Our vehicles can become idols. Our cell phones today can become our idols. Food can become our idol. Let me just say that there is nothing wrong when we have some or all of these things, but something is wrong when they have us and they control us.
Mm-hmm.
When they have us and they control us, they, friends, they become our idols. You know, we're grandpas.
Yeah.
I mean, we can put our children or grandchildren before God and hold them closer to our hearts than we do God. And I would tell all parents and grandparents, they're all gods, and you need to hold them loosely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not going to let my kid go do this. You need to hold them loosely. And yet we hide that. We would never call our children or our grandchildren our idol, and thus we end up cultivating these secret sins. If the secret sins of the flock of Israel here would be made public, as it has been for us, we look at them and go, how could you do it? But if the secret sins of our lives were made public, we would all be scandalized. There may have been many Hebrews shocked when Joshua said this, especially realizing they weren't the only ones hiding this secret.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covers his sin will not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. I don't know, friend, what kind of skeletons you have in the closet, but if you have not confessed them to the Lord, or if you haven't made right a wrong with another person, I would say you need to confess that, forsake it, and move forward in your life. For if we don't, there is a big struggle that we will all face. We're going to pick up on our next broadcast looking at that famous verse, verse 15, about choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As you're driving to work or coming home for your own family or at your work, you're going to need to choose today whom you're going to serve, and you need to do it every day. Thank you for joining us for the broadcast. May the Lord bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.